Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're continuing this series on parents and what is apparently the problem. That we're not being good parents, we're not being righteous parents, and we're not being Christian parents. We need to stop coveting our neighbor's goods. We need to stop praying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. We need to stop electing Sauls and Nimrods to provide for us what we should be providing for ourselves, which includes providing for our children. We should be teaching our children ourselves, homeschooling, private schools, and if your congregations were really to come together in the character of Christ, this would be easy, it would be cheap, and it would be rewarding. Your families would be families. You need to start doing this. You need to start turning around, and we're showing you what's happening right now in the world that is taking away your rights. We talked about, you know, your marriages and your benefits and all these things used by Rome to subjugate a once free nation and bring it from a pure republic, a fairly pure republic, from a Libera Res Publica, where the people were free from things public, which included marriage, was not connected to the administration of government. Your marriages today are. The marriages by the time of Augustus Caesar were. And following that, they became, under like Marcus Aurelius, that everything, even child rearing, was connected to the administration of government, and they could take away your children. Why do you think infant baptism began? Once you understand that baptism was being done by Herod, and baptism was being done by John the Baptist, both of them claimed to be baptizing people into the kingdom of God, but they were doing something completely different. When you understand what they were doing, you will be shocked. You will be stunned. In disbelief, you will say, I'm crazy. But it's the facts are there. Herod was baptizing people, sending out ministers all over the Roman Empire to baptize people. What was he doing? Baptizing people. They were entering into his social welfare system that Christ referred to as Corban, whereby you signed up. You had to pay in according to the statutory requirements of the Sanhedrin, their Congress of the day. And they would guarantee you entitlements. They would take care of you if you were blind, if you were crippled, if you were indigent, if you fell on hard times as old age people. You would go to the temple or your local synagogue and they would provide you with alms. Welfare. But what should have been for your welfare was a snare, according to David, according to Paul. And he says, don't make agreements with these unbelievers who don't believe in what? That Jesus was the Son of God, who don't believe in the Trinity, who don't believe in the virgin birth. No, those who don't believe in love, who believe in force. Until John the Baptist, people were trying to establish their governments by force. By compelling, either subjugating them by wars or subjugating them by offering them benefits, and then they could take and take and take. If you elect men to be your benefactor and give them the power to exercise authority over your neighbor and take away from your neighbor, you are anti-Christ, anti-Moses, anti-Abraham. You are not dependent upon free will offerings. You are dependent upon force. You are coveting your neighbor's goods through the agency of the governments you elect. You are not a good Jew. You are not a good Muslim. You are not a good Hindu. You are not a good Buddhist. And you are certainly not a good Christian. You are into the religion of the state. And the state is your priests and your ministers. and they will take care of your needy, but they will do it by taking away from your neighbor and you. You will be trapped in the same net. Basic concept. We have to get that, have to repeat that every show almost, because you're not hearing that. That's the fundamentals. Okay. Now we see the Attorney General of the United States saying, arguing before the court, actually this week, I think he's going to argue this, that there was no violation of anyone's protective rights in a law that entirely bans homeschooling. He's talking about Germany. What he's doing here is making an argument to entirely ban homeschooling in the United States, because there would be no violation of protected rights if we do that. Every time you take a case up that in this state or that state that that somebody's affecting your right of homeschooling, he's setting the precedent right now in the courts to ban homeschooling in every state of the United States. And you say, wait a minute, we have states' rights. You have no states' rights. None. Zip. All your rights are federal, because you're all federal employees. You all have a federal employee identification number. You all have applied for the Corbin of FDR. Social Security. Social Security is exactly what Herod was introducing through his baptism. Social insurance through the temple. Rome was doing it. Herod was doing it. John the Baptist was doing something different. John the Baptist was saying, you got two coats, your neighbor doesn't have one, share. He's preaching charity, everybody else is preaching force. He's preaching love, everybody else is preaching covetousness. Your churches, and we read it in the last show, we ought to read it again, don't you think? Don't you think it's good to read the Bible? People sometimes complain I don't quote the Bible enough. I can't believe that. You can't find hardly a page in any of my books that doesn't quote the Bible. I don't know where they think I'm not quoting the Bible. It says, I know in Revelations 2:2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And your ministers are liars. They have brought in damnable heresies that it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through government, because of Romans 13. So I have wrote a whole book on Romans 13. I've given it to ministers, even ministers who object to the modern interpretation of Romans 13. They don't see it. It's right there. Why don't they see it? There's a cognitive disconnect. Nobody wants to believe. What I'm saying, if you are going to be a society established by Jesus Christ, the church, you have to eat of his blood and drink of his blood and eat of his flesh. What does that mean? You have to provide your social welfare through faith, hope, and charity alone. If you don't, you're not a follower of Christ. You're simply not doing what Christ said. You are not a doer of the word. How can you do that? How can you live by faith, hope, and charity alone? How can you live loving your neighbor and not come together to take care of one another? And we gave the example in the last show of healthcare. Run through the tens, hundreds, and thousands by mutual assurance, by faith, hope, and charity. Can you do that? Can you organize congregations of 10 families that will actually pay in? Odds are, the first one who needs a medical bill paid is going to live miles away from you. You're not even going to know them in a network of tens, hundreds, and thousands. Will you still give in $10, $100 a month? for them. You know, you don't have to give anything if nobody's sick. You can give it all to the missions. What are the missions? We should have missions in places like Monterey or Sacramento, where we do it economically and righteously and get the poor involved, whether we're none of this where we all go and fix a meal for the poor and they sit out in the line and get eaten, fed. We get them to come in, wash their hands, and they fix the meals or sweep up. Get them to take care of one another. Leave their drugs and their cigarettes at the door and their alcohol at the door. And they come in sober, or they don't come in at all. And they work together to take care of one another, because you're not strengthening the poor unless you're teaching them to stand on their own two feet. But that even will take some facilities, and that takes the support of other people. And when we get them on their feet, they can become parts of congregations. And with every soul that wants to go the way of Christ, you are strengthened. You are made rich. That is the treasury of the kingdom, not some vault. You know, I've written articles on this, might as well mention again, your Social Security programs is totally, totally bankrupt. There is no money there whatsoever. It's law. Go on our website, look up Not So Secure Social Security. I show you in the law, it is absolutely empty. You are, every time you take a benefit, you are running your children and your grandchildren farther into debt. There is no money there. By law, been that way from the beginning. Since 1935, 1960, it's been that way. It was written in there. It is in the law that there are no earmarked funds for Social Security. And you know you're in debt. They tell you every day, trillions of dollars in debt. How can there be any funds in Social Security? There is none. It's only in your imagination. And then you worship your imagination. You worship the image of the beast. So anyway, on a lighter note, why does Eric Holder say and argue that the violation of anyone's protected rights doesn't exist simply because you ban homeschooling? Because there's no fundamental right to teach your children. That's why he's telling you. And he's saying that the problem in Germany is not really a problem because they don't permit anybody to homeschool. So if we have any problems, what is his solution? Well, forbid it. Ban homeschooling entirely. It's not a right, it's a privilege. We're not going to give it to you unless you apply. And that's already happening in every state. You can homeschool your children. You just have to register them as being home taught. And then we'll come in and we'll make sure that you're doing a good job. We'll just do some testing. Once a year we'll do testing. You know, once a year we'll vaccinate them. Once a year we'll, and then we'll take them away. You know, I've seen this. It happens all the time. I remember the chief at the head medicine man at the Warm Springs tribe came to a meeting that we were having with the federal government and the local community. And afterwards he came up to us and he says, don't trust them. They're lying to you. They don't think they are, but you'll get a different story in a year and a different story after that. And that they're not telling you the truth. Don't trust them. Trust me, I'm speaking from experience. And his father, who had been the medicine man before, he was there too. And this, his father was an old fella. He remembers, you know, out in this valley when there wasn't anybody. He'd been around for a long time. Counteract the development of religious, philosophical, motivated parallel societies. This is why they ban homeschooling in Germany, to counteract the development of religious and philosophical motivated parallel societies. They're going to do that here. And Eric Holder wants to mainstream that right in. But he's not the problem. I don't want to pick on the poor guy. He's just under a strong delusion like most of you. The fact is this idea is spread by the Spirit. The spirit of progressive socialism is a hotbed of this idea. Progressive socialism is religion. It is their faith, just like evolution. That's their faith. They believe that. And the gods of their church are what they call scientists. And scientists disagree, but they only agree with the scientists that agree with them. And the other scientists, oh, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out. U.S. government says, according to Ferris, who is a supporter of homeschooling, the U.S. government contended that the Remekes, this family from Germany who fled here for so they could teach their kids at home because they were being persecuted in Germany, that the Remekes case failed to show that there was any discrimination based on religion. Because, among other reasons, the Remekes did not prove that all homeschoolers were religious and that not all Christians believed they had to homeschool. There you go. All Christians don't believe you should homeschool. See, there's the problem. He's thinking that those people who are coveting their neighbor's goods and compelling their neighbor to pay for their child's education are Christians. If you define Christians as followers of Christ, you cannot covet your neighbor's goods, even through the agency of government. Therefore, you cannot ask the men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority one over the other, will you collect money from my neighbor so that I can have free education? Christians wouldn't do that. Christians, followers of Christ, couldn't do that because Christ said it is not to be that way with you. But it is that way with you. And you call yourself a Christian. A Holder probably calls himself a Christian. Obama calls himself a Christian, sort of. I guess he kind of calls himself a Muslim by his actions, but it doesn't make any difference. The Muslims aren't allowed to covet their neighbor's goods either. So he's not even a good Muslim. He's a socialist. You cannot be a socialist and a Muslim. Because a Muslim believes in the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments says that you cannot covet your neighbor's goods, even through a socialist state. You can't want those benefits because you want your neighbor's goods. You just want the government to take them away because you don't want any blood on your hands when they kick in the door and take from your neighbor. All these false Christians are pickpockets. They're picking your pocket, but they have the government do it. And the government's starting to complain. It says, because some of you guys have guns, and we don't want you to have guns if we've got to go into your neighbor's house and force them to contribute. So we have the right, in order to fulfill the mandate given to us by all these false Christians to take from their neighbors, we have the mandate to go in and take the guns away, too, so that our workers will be safe. That's reasonable. They should take your guns away. You've been taking their stuff away so that you could have free education. Anybody who doesn't homeschool their children, who sends their children to public schools, should have their guns taken away from them. Why? Because they believe that they can take money from their neighbors so that they can have free education. And we don't have to just pick on education, healthcare, any of these things. Tell you the truth, I can take it one step farther. Fire departments that are supported by taxation of your neighbor's home. That's coveting your neighbor's goods so that you can be safe from fire. Police. That's all coveting your neighbor's goods. If you were in the tens, hundreds, and thousands, you would already have your police. You would be the police. You'd have your community watch. You could do this. But you're so far away, it looks like I could never get there. When you're climbing a mountain, you never look at the top. You look at where you're at, and you keep on going. That's what somebody just joined back the network from New York. Hi, Kevin. And he said he was distracted by these other. But then he heard me still out here plugging away. If we can get David in Colorado to get a little focused, maybe we can even get farther. You guys have to focus. This is simple. It's not complicated. You just have to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is not righteous to send men to your neighbor's house to force them to contribute to what you think you ought to have. Health clinic, police protection, fire departments, schools, whatever. Stop forcing your neighbor to make these things a reality in your life. Because as long as you do that, God will not hear you. And when you wave your hands to the Lord in church and feel real good, you're a hypocrite. You're not a Christian. You're not doing what he said. He said it is not to be that way with you. You're not to be praying to the fathers of the earth, to the men who call themselves benefactors. Ferris, homeschool advocate, goes on to say, one need not be a part of any church or other religious group to be able to make a religious freedom claim. That's sort of true. But to make that claim stick, you better be. Because you're all alone. My sheep, the church's sheep, the church owns a bunch of sheep. When they're out there on the desert, surrounded by coyotes and bobcats and mountain lions and what have you, they have a fundamental right to go off away from the herd and stand out in the sagebrush and bleat. That's what they call bang. Bah! I'm a free sheep. Bah! I have a fundamental right to go anywhere I want on the church property to eat my grass. Bah! Well, you just keep doing that, and you're going to end up being a coyote hors d'oeuvre. So you can have all the fundamental rights of not being a part of anything else, but it says not forsake the gathering together. He goes on to say specifically, one doesn't have to follow the dictates of a church to claim religious freedom. Absolutely. You have to follow the dictates of Christ. And the dictates of Christ include, you are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other. It is not to be that way with you. The dictates of Christ is that you are to love one another, not use force and violence against one another to get what you want from one another. That's the dictates of Christ. I ain't making it up. That's why we don't have any doctrines but Christ. I'm not going to write you a new doctrine. I'm going to write down what it says, Christ said, and I'm going to show you what it says. You have to decide yourselves. It's not subject to my private interpretation, but I'll argue it with you. It says, thou shalt not covet. Paul says in the epistles of Paul, thou shalt not covet. You want to know more about Paul? We've got 13 hours of Romans. And we haven't even got up to verse 13. We actually just got up there. And we'll be including that in the next couple of shows. But on that. And that's heard on another station. Although we may broadcast them on these stations if I have to take a vacation somewhere and I need to. I'll send them copies and they'll play the pre-recorded shows so that I actually get an actual Sabbath off once in a while. But until then, I'm going to keep on preaching the kingdom and you other guys can go off and do whatever you darn well please. One should be able to follow the dictates of God himself. That's right. But you need to establish that with two or more witnesses because the Bible tells you establish all things with two or more witnesses. Old and New Testament tell you that. So you do need to come together. A husband and wife are not two witnesses. A husband and wife is not two witnesses. They are one witness because they are no more twain. They are one. I'm talking law here. I'm talking Bible here. That's just the way it is. You don't like it? That's fine. Don't like it. But you need to come together. The United States Supreme Court has made it very clear in the past that religious freedom is an individual right. It's an individual right to come together in free assemblies. Not free associations, but free assemblies. The right of the people to peaceably assemble and provide their own health care through faith, hope, and charity is a fundamental right. That is the argument that you're going to need to take. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't eventually be persecuted, but if you don't take that step all the way back to that, you can kiss off anything else that you try. Because it will not have the blessings of God. Yet our current government does not seem to understand this. I'm quoting Ferris still. You can kind of tell when I'm quoting because I have this reading tone. I tried to put that in there. Yet our current government does not seem to understand this, that the problem is his current government is the United States Supreme Court instead of Christ. Is he doesn't know that Christ came preaching a parallel government, a parallel society. And because that, and all the other churches don't realize that, when you actually have a need to take care of the widows and orphans of your society, they send you to the benefactors who exercise authority, and they think they're Christians? This is where I do a belly laugh. They're not Christians. They've been listening to liars. They only think they're Christians. Ferris goes on to say, they only think of us as members of a group and faction. It is an extreme form of identity politics that directly threatens any understanding of individual liberties. These guys don't believe in individual liberties. They don't even believe that parents have the right to teach their children. This is absolutely amazing, and we'll get into it eventually, probably after the break. I may jump down in my notes so that you get to hear it in this show. But this is going to take a number of shows to go through this. But this is amazing, some of the things that we're going to cover in the second half. Goes on to say here, that means they don't want to have significant numbers of people who think differently than what the government thinks. It's an incredibly dangerous assertion that people can't think in a way that the government doesn't approve of. That's his quote. It's the thought police. They can't have you teaching your children. You know, this goes way back. I can go back a dozen years to the Ramsey incident in Nebraska where they closed the school for teaching their children in a private school. And he discovered that by the church incorporating, he lost the right to do this. And it became heavily regulated. I mean, they padlocked the church and put APBs out for all the members of the church to have mothers arrested with their children. They were stopping people on the interstate because these Baptists were actually trying to teach their children. And they said that you don't have a fundamental right to teach your children because they were going to bring in the New World Order. I mean, he states that. We quote it in the book Covenants of the Gods. And I've talked about the show on shows before of how this preacher began to discover exactly how they had waived their rights by becoming incorporated. And he was basically informed this without being told directly because the judge couldn't tell him directly. He just went down to his cell, very touching scene, went down to his cell and prayed with him. And he says, I just came down to pray with you. Can't discuss the case. And then he says, read the headline of the case, just the introduction, you know, the state of Nebraska versus the such and such church, Baptist Church, Inc. And when he said the word Inc., the judge said, stop. Let's pray. And he prayed. And the pastor, when the guy left, I mean, he was just bewildered, you know, like, this is important. Something happened here. And he went back and he read that thing. And finally, he kept stopping on that word ink. And suddenly he realized ink, incorporated. I don't have fundamental rights. I have incorporated rights. I have become a part of the body of the state. I am no longer a part of the body of Christ. And I have no rights granted to me by Christ or God. And you do that in 100 different ways. And we'll talk about a couple of those ways when we return. The Keys of the Kingdom.
Do you scream for zombies? Or do you cheer on the living? Do you find yourself wandering around aimlessly? Or do you walk a straight and narrow path? Are you among the flesh-eating zombie horde? Or are you alive and seeking to find a safe community for the living? If you're alive and you love life and other living souls, join the Living Network at www.thelivingnetwork.org. Zombies need not apply.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about rights. We're talking about God-given rights, parental rights, because God gave us the right to marry. I mean, marriage, matrimony, whatever you want to call it, the union of husband and wife. It's called the domestic union is called the great domestic union of husband and wife, or great domestic relationship of husband and wife. And it is not based on contract as much as it is based on relationship. But the marriages you receive in the institutions of the state that you create for yourself that are made in the image of God, they are based on contract. And there are three-party contracts between you, your spouse, and the state. And you probably shouldn't be doing that, but maybe you should. Most of you probably need that because you won't stay together. You won't produce anybody in society. Your husbands will leave you. Your fathers will abandon you. And if you do that, society will decay and crumble. Oh, wait a minute. You're doing that already. So you're doing that because the state actually encourages that. They don't want the father there in the family because the family is more easily controlled and the children are more easily controlled and manipulated if the father isn't there. They do want the father to be in bondage and have to pay money, but they don't want him actually in the house where he's exercising any influence. And how did they decide this? Is this a conspiracy in the back room somewhere? No, this is decided in the spirit. You see, evil knows that it doesn't want you to understand the position of a father in the home, because then you might understand the position of God in society. Because God is your father, which is why Christ said, call no man on earth your father, but my father in heaven. So when you get married, you should not go to the state and ask permission. You should go to your father, your natural father, and ask permission. And he should grant you free permission to have what they call a frank marriage, which we will cover in later shows again. But the state doesn't do that. It does not offer you a frank marriage, a free marriage. It wants you in a marriage of servitude and bondage where they can take away your children. They can take away your right to decide what is best for your children. They can nullify your love for your children and say, no, you can't do that, even though that's a loving act and all that. We want you to do this over here because we don't want your children having any ideas, think any other way than the way that we want them to think. And that is not something that's coming in the future. That's already here. Some countries, it's pervasive. This country, it's becoming pervasive. But it's happening all over the world. And you're going to have to make a choice. People say, well, I do everything the government tells me unless it asks me to do something that's morally and fundamentally immoral. Morally wrong or fundamentally immoral. Or against Christ. Well, if you're asking the government to provide you with free education, that's against Christ, because Christ said not to pray to the fathers of the earth. And we've talked about that. The fathers of the earth at that time was the Senate of Rome and the Emperor of Rome. You couldn't pray to them for benefits because they were men who called themselves benefactors. They would give you benefits, but they exercised authority one over the other. You weren't to do that. They had some form of public education in Rome, but it was actually decidedly lacking, even in Rome. But it was around. They did have universal health care for a while, and they had health care, and they had benefits that you obtained by showing your birth certificate. They had a birth certificate, and they eventually had a ID, a caragma, to identify you and your status. Originally, these IDs were issued by the owners of slaves, but eventually they developed a titulus where the government would issue through the temples national IDs, so that you, when you traveled, they knew who you were and who you belonged to and what jurisdiction you were under. The church had such a thing. They called it the Logos, and it's mentioned in the Justinian Codes. It was because the church was a parallel government and society. It didn't mass huge armies and invade other countries, but it took care of all the social welfare of the people through faith, hope, and charity. This was the dividing line between Christianity and the world. The world meaning constitutional order and system of government. In that those days, it was the Pax Romana. Today, it's the United Nations. And all the subsequent nations that are losing their sovereignty rapidly through treaties. Treaties that, according to the Bible, you should have never given anybody the power to make. If you go back to Deuteronomy 17, 16, that area, it tells you what to include in your constitution. Of the five things that you were to include in your constitution, they only put one of those five things in the constitution, which meant that your leader, your president, your prime minister couldn't be a foreigner. That was the only thing. And it appears that that doesn't matter. Although personally, I don't believe that the present president of the United States is a foreigner. I believe that both of his parents were Americans, although one of them was a extreme socialist who lived in Hawaii. But so he probably isn't a foreigner, but I don't believe that he has a legitimate birth certificate that shows you who his real father was. But anyway, what I was going to read to you is the General Assembly of the United Nations proclaims this Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And I'm going to read to you Article 26. Everyone has a right to education. Does that mean they have a right to free schooling? That's not what they're saying. That free schooling is a privilege. They're saying everyone has a right to education. Why would they say that? It's because in many countries, including Great Britain and the United States, and some of the states, it has been at one time or another against the law to teach certain ethnic groups or racial groups. It was against the law to teach Irishmen how to read at one time in Great Britain. It was absolutely forbidden to teach an Irishman to read. Same thing with some blacks in some parts of the South. It was against the law to teach blacks to read. They're saying that everyone has a right to education. Not everybody has a right to free education. It does say education shall be free. But again, they're not talking about monetarily free, because then that means everybody has to pay into it. It means that no one can restrict your right to become educated. You get to get your education. No one can say, oh, you cannot be home taught, because that would be restricting your right to education. You want to be educated at home. They can't do that, according to this Rule 26, Article 26 of the United Nations. Now, I hate to quote the United Nations as a source of truth, but I'm just showing you what's going on in the world today, because Holder, as we saw in the earlier part of the show, was saying that there is no fundamental right to educate your children. There's a fundamental right to free education, to freely educate your children. And if you take your children away from you, they've taken away your right to educate your children and your children to be educated by you. Can they do that? Well, they can, because of all the other contracts you've had with the state to get benefits. But anyway, it says at least in the elementary and fundamental stages. So they're talking early education, that it should be not restricted. So you should, you know, when you put your child in Head Start, you've taken your child out of the family and turned them over to somebody else. And there's a huge debate, and I saw somebody talking about it, actually a comedian who does a kind of news report. He's kind of a news report guy who tries to be funny. But he thinks the Head Start is good, and was advocating, because he's pretty much a bleeding heart socialist. But the reality is there's no evidence, and they agree, there's no evidence that after the 2 years that the Head Start that they got doesn't amount to any change in the amount of education. Although they do say that children that go into Head Start often go on to finish more education than children who do not get Head Start. But that may have nothing to do with Head Start. The point is, you're not to be coveting your neighbor's goods and sending your children to schools that are paid for by men who exercise authority one over the other and take away from your neighbor so that you can have that free education, which is not free. It costs money. It just costs your neighbor. If I had sent my six children to public education, I would have incurred $6,000 to $7,000 a year expense upon my neighbor per child. Six times six, that's $36,000 a year plus. It's probably like $40,000 a year. I wasn't paying $40,000 a year taxes. That, the only way I could have got that is to covet my neighbor's goods. And I told him that. I says, I don't send my kids to your school for a lot of reasons. One is because I'm a Christian. Christians can't be coveting their neighbor's goods, because Christ said you had to keep the commandments. Christ said that. Now, I know people say, oh, we're not under the law, but you know what law you're under? You're under Holder's Law. That's the law you're under. You're not under Mosaic Law anymore. You're under Holder's Law. Holder doesn't think you should teach your children. He thinks that you shouldn't, you don't have a fundamental right to teach your children. You know, rights and responsibilities are the same thing. You have a responsibility to teach your children. We're not even getting into the fact that they're teaching them lies. Let's go on with this Article 26. Technical and professional education shall be made generally available, and higher education shall be equally accessible to all on the basis of merit. Now, that is a somewhat socialist statement. And that is Section 1 of Article 26. I don't know how they're going to make these things available other than take them away from your neighbor. But because it does say education shall be made generally available, shall be equally accessible. It doesn't say should be. It says shall be. Now, you can't, there is no such thing as free education any more than there is free lunch. So there is socialist overtones in that first section. But let's read Section 2. Education shall be, another shall be, directed to the full development of the human personality and to the strengthening of respect of human rights, doesn't say God-given rights, and fundamental freedoms. Fundamental freedoms. Would that include teaching your children? It shall promote understanding, tolerance, and friendship amongst all nations, racial or religious groups. Groups. You have to be a religious group. And shall further the activities of the United Nations for the maintenance of peace. So their article is promoting the United Nations, of course. But the really interesting one is number 3. And we have to get to number 3. Parents have a prior right, to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. Let's read that again. That was so much fun. Parents, this is the United Nations speaking, of which the United States is a member. Parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. Germany has signed on to the United Nations as well. They're a member. Parents have a prior right. Prior? That would be fundamental right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. That's the UN General Assembly that created that document. Have you waived that prior right, though? Have you given up that prior right? Well, application for education for your kids in public school, marriage licenses, federal employee identification numbers, citizenship, all these things may infringe upon that prior right if you create obligations. How do you create obligations? You ask the men who are the benefactors of the world, the fathers of the world, take care of me, take care of my children, feed me in the WIC program, take care of my health care. you're waiving your prior rights for your privileges. You're selling your God-given rights for a pot of porridge. This is the message that is throughout the Bible from the beginning to the end. Why? Because the Bible is the book for the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's what it used to say in Wycliffe's Introduction to the Bible, which is where Abraham Lincoln got the phrase. Let's go on to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. We'll hear the Romkes appeal on May 2012. This is an old article. They're actually, it's now coming up because they were granted an asylum and then they're trying to take it away. Who's trying to take it away? Holder and the Obama administration. I'm not picking on poor Obama. I'm not picking on Holder. I'm picking on you. Mike Ferris goes on and observes, the United States Supreme Court has made it clear, very clear, in the past that religious freedom is an individual right. Yet our current government does not seem to understand this. They only think of us as members of groups and factions. It is an extreme form of identity politics that directly threatens any understanding of individual liberty. They say you have freedom of religion as long as your religion conforms to our thinking. Germany does not agree with freedom of religion when it comes to creating parallel societies. If you want to sing in your church and not do what Christ said, you can have your church. But if you want to create a parallel society based on faith, hope, and charity and love for one another, see, you don't have a clear dividing line between your church, your religion, and all the other philosophies of the world. Your dividing line is not Christ. Your preachers are not even preaching Christ. They're saying it's okay to covet as long as you do through government. And I'm saying if you think that, you're going to lose your prior right to educate your children. That's the law. I can't do anything about it. That's the law. And if you will not come together as a group and freely assemble, not contract, not associate, but freely assemble, and we show you how to do this in the Free Church Report. There's a study after this show. I think it's about an hour after this show. You can find out about it on the Living Network. Go to livingnetwork.org, I guess it is. And you'll find out about it on the Free Church Report. We have to realize of the fundamental errors that we're making. You know, they talk about, you know, that Germans do this across the board. There's no prejudice. There's no persecution because they don't let anybody, but they do. They let, like I say, gypsies and people move around. But they say it's not religious prejudice, but certainly it is. And besides that, it's persecution. You know, if they outlawed any churches across the board, I guess that's okay with Holder. If they outlaw any religious practice, as long as they do it to all churches equally, it's okay. That means Holder thinks that's okay here in America. We can outlaw any religious practice. We can outlaw charity. Did you know that? They could actually outlaw charity. You cannot give to anybody unless you give through the government. They could do that. You think, oh, they'll never do that. The things they're doing now, I used to think they would never do. But they're doing them. A report filed by the president of the INGO Conference of the Council of Europe. And I'm not going to get her name right. Annalise Osedger finds that children and their parents are subject to United Nations, European Union, and UNICEF human rights violations. We just read one of those. There's all kinds of those articles that we could read, but they're subject to human rights violations. Of particular concern is the German and Austrian, in parentheses, agencies, the Jugendamt. J-U-G-E-N-D-A-M-T, if you want to look it up. It means the German Youth Office. That often unfairly allows for unchecked government control of parent-child relationships, which have resulted in harm, including torture, degrading, cruel treatment, and has led to children's death. This is those civilized Germans. And I don't want to pick on Germans, because I tell you, it's going to happen here in America. It already has happened here in America through children's services. The problem is complicated by nearly unlimited power of the Jugendamt officers, with no process of review or resolve inappropriate or harmful treatment. By German law, the Jugendamt officers are protected against prosecution. Jugendamt officers' span of control is seen in cases that go to family court, where experts' testimony may be overturned by lesser educated or experienced JA officers. In more that, you know, that JA, that would be YA. If you pronounce it YA. So their officers are gods. They can't be prosecuted. They can't be sued. They have unlimited authority. They are gods. They are the gods many that Paul warned you about. In more than 90% of the cases of the YAW officers, recommendation in accepted by family court. 90%. Even though they're not educated in that, they just, what they say goes. Officers have also disregarded family court decisions, such as when to return children to their parents without repercussion. In other words, the court agrees with them 90% of the time, when they disagree 10% of the time, they can just disregard the court. Germany has not recognized related child welfare decisions made by European Parliament courts have sought to protect and resolve children and parent rights violations. They don't care about anybody else. And Holder wants to send this family back, knowing the family will be torn apart, knowing that the family will be fined, that the family will be persecuted. He wants to send them back because he thinks you have no fundamental right to teach your children. He's actually a stooge, in my opinion. I think he's just doing this because he was told to do it by somebody higher up so that they don't offend Germany. But that's the priests which you have chosen for yourself. That is the rulers which rule your families. You need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to go the other way. You need to start becoming the true church established by Jesus Christ. You need to stop coveting your neighbor's goods. You need to start coming together and loving one another. And until you do, may peace be upon your house. And may God be with you. But that's my prayer. No guarantees. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.